The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports. Sports.
Sports.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and it's going to be a good day. Lots of boxing, lots of all kinds of sports stuff. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Juggalo Trey back in studio, keeping us on air, working the ones and twos. The marathon today.
Yeah, Juggy, how you holding up?
I'm doing all right, you know, just doing my thing, living. I'm doing good.
Okay, so tell me what your day's been like. You started off by coming in and doing the last half of the morning show, right?
I think Jose did it.
Jose did it.
I think we worked something out. But I came in for the usual suspects, and I'll be here for the Blitz.
And how'd the usual suspects work out
for you? It went pretty well. I think it went pretty well. I forgot to clock in, but it's okay. I got it fixed, and we're doing good.
Did you have any major mistakes on the board?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay. So Joel and Barry, didn't make fun of you for doing something wrong or anything like that?
I don't think they made fun of me for that. They just kind of made fun of me for the usual, you know.
Well, they're rude. They don't, like, you and I are friends, so I don't do that. But Barry and Joel, they're the kind of people who put others down to make themselves feel big. You know how that is.
Like I said, I don't take anything for cereal. It's radio. We're just all having a good time, you know. Lots of lols, lots of laughs, you know, just doing our thing.
Right, but you realize Barry and Joel are bad people at their core.
I don't think so. I think overall there's some good in there. You know, I think.
Do you remember when you said that you liked Joel and Barry as much as you liked me and Fred?
Of course, I do. That holds true.
Yeah, that's really weird to me.
I love everybody. You know, I'm just.
I know, but you know, I don't know. It's just like you would think. You know, did Joel and Barry ever say, "Hey, I'm going to throw you some extra hours here, Trey"?
I don't think so. No, but. They're not. I don't know if they're in the position to do that, though.
You know why?
Yeah, because you're the PD.
They're bad people.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd call them bad people.
They're pretty bad. I mean, they've got some good about them. Like Joel married someone who saves animals. That's pretty good. I mean, Barry, I'm having a hard time coming up with something specific about what makes him good. But
he's still here if y'all want to talk to him.
No, God, no. He just had 3 hours. I mean, he's just a mic hog. He can't get enough of himself.
I don't want to call anybody anything bad,
okay.
You know.
Well, all right, Trey. If you're going to be like that today, I see you're not going to be honest with us today. That's okay. I'm glad you're being honest. Okay. Sure you are. Fred of the Beetle Barnes.
What's up?
How you holding up today, my man?
I'm good.
You're having a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. You are the king of the bounce back. And Nick and I were talking, and I would say Nick's now in his late 30s. He's in his mid to late 30s. I'm 39, so I'm nearing the end of my 30s.
Of your life, yeah.
But we were discussing how certain things, you know, just affect us more now than they used to. Whether it be alcohol or 100% totally legal marijuana, you know, we've reached that point where everything hits a little bit harder, and it's a little harder to drag yourself off the mat every time now, for me at least, and for Nick. Nick said that's the case for him too. Yet you are older than both of us. I mean, hell,
significantly.
You're older than me and Nick and Trey combined. And somehow, and I feel like you drink harder than me. Like, you go harder than I do.
Don't sell yourself short. You do pretty well.
But you always, like, you don't get hung over.
Nope.
You just show up the next day bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and you're...
I'm always ready to rock and roll.
You're ready to do it again the next night.
Yeah.
Man. When I wake up some days out here, I'm like, I'm not drinking. I'm not drinking tomorrow. Or like, today, I'm going to recover today. I'm not drinking tonight. And then I usually do by the time the night rolls around. But, Fred, there's no slowing you down.
Well, there is one thing that I've kind of slowed down on. As
cocaine.
No, I don't do cocaine. But
right, anymore. You stopped at cold turkey.
I've never done cocaine.
Oh.
Maybe that was
a different guy.
But legal weed, of course.
Yeah.
I can't handle as much as I used to could handle.
Of the weed?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is...
Well, that hit me pretty hard last night.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I slept like a champ after I had a gummy. But in the old days, I would have had like two or three gummies.
Yeah.
And now one, I'm like, okay, that's all I can handle.
Yeah.
I handled it better than Carl Dukes did, I'll just say that.
Allegedly. Yeah, I didn't, you know, take my clothes off or anything. But I would say I handled it well. I just didn't feel great at the end of it, is all I'm saying, and especially when I woke up this morning.
Really? I didn't think you went that bad last night.
Honestly, the thing that saved me is I got such bad cotton mouth from the 100% legal marijuana that I ingested that I had to drink a bunch of water at the poker tournament.
Ooh, that'll do it.
That probably saved me from what could have been a much worse hangover. So, because otherwise I wouldn't have been drinking that water. So, really, it kind of saved me in a weird way.
Well, that's good. I actually paced myself early in the night. I didn't really get crazy until we were all together at the bar.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I got tired of paying $22 for a double, so I just went upstairs and kept reloading my drink with my own vodka.
That's probably a better move.
Yeah.
It is not cheap to drink in Vegas. You would think it would be. This seems like the place where, you know, they know they're going to get their money out of quantity.
Right.
But I think they know also people don't really, they're not that worried about what they're spending out here.
Yeah, you don't really think
about it.
It's just
kind of free for all.
Everything's sort of chips, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you think of them as chips. You don't think of it as money. But, no, I mean, we had a good time. We hung out at the bar for a while, and then that was it. Went home. Had the gummy, went to sleep, got up this morning, went for a run, feel great, ready to rock and roll.
And tonight we are going out to eat with Eric Sandler of Culture Map, culturemap.com.
Food editor,
yeah, big star there. And he's invited us out to dinner to a fancy place, right?
He says it's really good, so I'm...
What are you going to wear to this dinner?
I'm just going to go back to the room after the show and throw on a nice shirt, and that's it.
What about you, Nick? You going in that?
I mean, do we have to dress up for this?
I don't know. I don't know how the place is.
I think it's a little high end, so I'm just going to, like I said, I'm
going to
have a nice
jeans?
Shirt.
It is in the Venetian. I'm pretty sure they'll let you in with jeans.
Yeah. Well, how's my look now? I've got a button up on.
You're fine. I'm, that's basically what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a button up.
Okay.
And that's it.
I just might go like this.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're fine, too.
Nick, if you were the doorman at this restaurant and I showed up looking like this, would you allow me in?
Probably.
Okay.
I think
Dude,
I would.
They're going to let Eric in, so we'll be fine.
It's true. What if Eric shows up in a three-piece suit?
I've never seen Eric in a three-piece suit.
I haven't either, but maybe he's fancy today.
Well, we'll see.
He's living it up in Vegas. And what happens here stays here, they say.
So he's staying here?
No, he didn't happen here.
Oh, okay.
He's just here.
Oh, man. Well, we got some really good interviews for you. If you want to get in, don't bother calling because we don't take phone calls on the road. But
we will take texts. We will take tweets.
Yes.
We do want your feedback today, but we are going to have some interviews. I sat down earlier today with former welterweight champion Timothy Bradley. I had a good chat with him. And I also sat down with the legendary Andre Ward, one of the pound-for-pound greats, really, of all time. I guess until someone beats him, it's hard to argue otherwise.
You know what? He's never in that conversation, and shouldn't he be?
Maybe he should be.
I mean, especially beating Kovalev twice.
But I talked to him, and one of the cool things I got to talk to him about was the adjustments you make between the first fight with someone and the second, because obviously his first fight with Kovalev could have gone better for him. They end up.
A lot of people thought Kovalev won that fight.
Yes. And with their rematch, not as close. So we talked about the adjustments he made there and the adjustments that he thinks Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder will try to make in their second go at it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah,
and then we'll have RJ, of course.
Yeah, RJ and presumably Fezzik. So J1 says, don't let him fool you. He gets hung over, LOL. No, he doesn't.
Well, I don't know. Is that your wife?
I have no idea who that is. But
unless that's Val, I'm going to – because, listen, I've been around Fred a lot of times.
She hates me for that. Like, if we both go out and tie one on, she'll be a mess the next morning, and I'll just be like, hey, let's go for a run. She hates that.
I've maybe
It's a gift.
I've maybe seen you hurting in the mornings once or twice, and that was a long time ago. Like, when we first started coming out here.
Yeah.
You'd show up dragging ass for some morning shows, particularly when we had to do the do mornings on the network, which was Yahoo Sports Radio at the time. We would come in and do the morning show for them and then do our midday show. It was an early start, and sometimes that would get you. But I think once you get to, like, 9 o'clock, you're pretty good.
Yeah, it's basically once 9 a.m. hits, unless I start drinking again, I'm good. So, yeah, my buddy John just texted me. Can confirm you have an incredible knack for recovery.
It is pretty impressive.
Because he and I have hung out here.
Because I see you a lot at night and say, oh, Fred's going to be – he's going to be hurting tomorrow. There's no two ways about it. And then sure enough, Fred bounces right back.
It's a gift. I don't know how it happened, but I'm happy that I have it.
How do you handle your booze, Trey? Are you have a low tolerance?
Yeah, I think so. Anytime I've ever really drank, I've kind of felt the effects pretty quickly, but I don't drink all that often. Y'all know me.
What do you like to drink based on, your favorite NASCAR driver's beer sponsor?
Sometimes, yeah. Back in the day, I wouldn't drink anything other than Budweiser because that was Dale's sponsor.
You were a Dale man.
Yeah, but I'm more of a vodka Red Bull guy. I'm kind of feminine when it comes to drinking.
What's wrong with vodka Red Bull? That's not feminine.
I don't know. No. Somebody told me, you know. Somebody
that's
told
a manly,
me.
That's something that we drink out here in Vegas.
That's a manly drink. Now, it's not as manly as Carbach.
No, nothing's as manly as Carbach.
Yeah, Carbach, guys, listen, if you haven't been out to the restaurant, you haven't been out to the brewery, you need to check this out. And I was out there for the Rodeo Clown Roundup last weekend. Such a good time. Great music and tons of great beer on the wall there. I think they had maybe 6 or 7 variants of Bourbon Barrel Hellfighter on tap at the time. I don't know what they've got now, but they had a lot up there. They always have something special and unique at the brewery that you can only get there. And while you're there, have yourself a good meal. The restaurant is out of this world. We're not talking about bar food. This is like legit restaurant food. Very, very good. And it's just a good vibe, good atmosphere. If you want more information about the restaurant, the brewery, the concert series, follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And make sure you get out there and see it for yourself. And when you're out and about this weekend, and hey, maybe even when you order the fights, make it a Carbach.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live at the beautiful MGM Grand in Las Vegas. 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. You can also get us on Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Juggalo _ Trey 48, or at Ryan Newman is dead, your choice.
That's not true.
He's alive.
Okay, he lived, fine. Poor Trey was so heartbroken reading his tweets that night when he thought he was going to die. And then the guy walks out 2 days later. So just goes to show you how far these things have come since Dale Earnhardt with the way of all flesh.
Trey was looking for the big one. He wanted a big explosive car wreck.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, but you wanted people talking about NASCAR, be honest.
I mean, was it good for NASCAR to be relevant? Yes, but not in that light. That was the worst thing that could happen.
NASCAR was its most popular when Dale Sr. hit the wall.
I mean,
just saying.
I guess
maybe you need to sacrifice another driver.
No, I don't know about that.
Who would you sacrifice? It's got to be somebody famous enough. I don't think Ryan Newman's quite famous.
I'm not going to sacrifice a driver's life.
Brad,
I can't do that. No, I like Brad.
How about either Bush?
Okay, I'd consider it.
What about Tony Stewart?
Just joking. No,
didn't Tony Stewart kill some guy?
Tony Stewart killed a guy.
That was not his fault.
But it was partially his fault.
Well, he hit the guy.
He couldn't see the dude. The dude was in a black fire suit on a track that wasn't all that well lit, and the wing like obscured his vision, so he couldn't really see him. Kid shouldn't have ran on the track.
Sounds like lawyer talk to me.
Yeah, making a lot of excuses there.
Yep.
I bet he wrote a check to that family.
I bet he could call Lawyer Dave.
No, Lawyer Dave wouldn't help him. He's a scumbag.
Oh, Lawyer Dave will help.
Oh, will he? Okay. Never mind then.
409 says, AJ, at Super Bowl New Orleans was legendary. Were you still doing the noon show? It's been a while. Yeah, that was a good one. My favorite part of that Super Bowl was how drunk Ron Perlman was when we interviewed him and Theo Rossi, or how drunk and hungover. Like, he almost couldn't talk. He was just sitting there staring like, Theo, can you answer that?
Yeah. I raged pretty hard at that Super Bowl, too,
I recall. We all did. It's New Orleans.
Yeah.
You're supposed to.
Those were some rough ones.
Much
better now that we do the afternoon drive.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a big difference because by now, if you can't recover by now, then you shouldn't be drinking.
That's right.
So, Fred, I know you've had issues with your wallet and ID in Vegas. What do you recommend as far as having on you to get around Vegas to avoid those kind of issues? I'm going for the first time next weekend. All I carry with me now is one debit card, my ID, my MLife card, and some cash. Everything else I lock up.
So here's what I do. I leave my debit card and my I've got my driver's license and I've got my concealed carry license. I leave my concealed carry license and my debit card in the room. So that way, if I lose everything, I've still got a valid government-issued ID and a debit card that I can get home.
Well, see, I leave my global reentry card in the room.
That'll work.
And I put them all in the safe and lock them up. And when I'm not in the room, I put my computer in the safe as well, just in case, you know, somebody wants to get in the room and try to steal stuff. But, yeah, I keep a debit card on me to pay for stuff, unless I have a bunch of cash, in which case I'll leave the debit card in the room too. But I always carry an ID, one of my IDs, and the MLife card. That's basically it. And it works really well because nobody's stealing your MLife card.
That's true.
And if they do, all they're going to do is give you points.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. So, yeah, there's no way I'm going to get in a situation where my wallet's gone again unless it's on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
Because I can't control
nothing
that.
You can do about that.
Yeah, but almost every hotel has a safe in the room, which is great. And I started doing that when I was out here for the World Series in June. Start putting everything in the safe and leaving it there, and I've done that ever since, and it works really well.
All right.
So,
pro tips.
Yeah, there you go. That's your. Now, as far as being able to recover fast, I can't help you with that. I mean, that's a. Everybody has a gift.
That's right.
In life, that happens to be mine. It's not a bad one to have.
No.
I mean, yeah, I'd rather have invisibility or teleportation powers or something like that, but once you get past the really cool X-Men like stuff. I'm not going to get too far down the list before I get to ability to recover fast.
Yeah, like Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a very, very long line outside. Did you see what it's for?
Well, there was a couple lines, actually. One of them, Mike Tyson was hanging around.
That's what I was talking about. Mike Tyson is...
Floyd Mayweather was also out there.
Oh, was he?
And
okay.
There was a huge line to see him.
Mike Tyson's doing the Pete Rose, you know... You give me money, I'll take a picture and autograph something for you thing.
Yeah.
But there is a line, I mean, stretching through this place to see Mike Tyson. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it basically, if you're familiar with the MGM, the area where the food court is, there's basically an area that has all these restaurants, and it's pretty wide. Well, if you wanted to get around that, you had to squeeze your way around the back.
Yep.
Because everybody was lined up outside the store, which is it's not a big store.
No.
So,
and it's like a store that they, you know, obviously they specialize in memorabilia, and they've got, like, you know, autographed, you know, pick shields, like the guitar shield plates from, like, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy stuff. It's a ridiculously expensive stuff, but they've got crazy cool memorabilia. They have, like, Scorsese autograph scripts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they've got some really cool stuff, but yeah, but they, every once in a while they'll have somebody famous in there signing autographs. There's often Pete Rose. He does it pretty regularly.
Yeah, we see Pete out here all the time.
But Mike Tyson was a big draw today, certainly.
Well, and Floyd actually wasn't scheduled to do anything. He just happened to be walking through, and people wanted to start taking pictures. And to his credit, he stopped, and you know, there were probably 100 people there.
He's a very reasonable man, I hear.
Yeah, he was being really cool to everybody. And which, you know, you surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm walking through here and I'm him, I've got my entourage and I'm not messing with
him. Nobody's talking to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're not getting close. But, yeah, he did that. And you know what I found interesting about this trip is in the casino, usually they play, like, pop music. Like, you know, your girl Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
They've been playing classic rock the whole time. Like, a lot of Led Zeppelin.
They have.
And actually good stuff, which kind of surprises me a little.
Yeah. But I could use a little more Taylor Swift.
It's very different.
But it's a good mix.
Yeah, well, I kind of like it because I sort of tune it out when it's when it's all pop and stuff. And like, oh, you make fun of me for not knowing who sings what songs. This is the only time I hear those songs.
Right.
Is when we're in Vegas. And it's like, okay, yeah, I've heard that. I don't know who sings it.
But why don't you go home and download it and listen to it regularly?
Because
when you hear it out here and you know it's awesome.
Well, because I don't know it's awesome. That's the problem.
Oh, but you hear it.
I hear it, and it sucks. And so,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's just an issue with your taste.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't apologize for my taste. My taste is what it is.
Poor.
Well, in your opinion, yeah. And that's fine. I think your taste is pretty poor.
Fine.
And that's all right. I don't try to.
We'll just agree to disagree.
I don't try to change your taste.
We'll just agree to disagree.
But music, women, things like that, we all like what we like. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make any one of us right or wrong. Like, if you like 600-pound women, that's cool.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch my 600-pound life and pleasure yourself to it, that's your business. I'm not going to judge you for that.
It's hot.
It's not, it doesn't work for me. But, you know, I prefer 400. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So, you know, Adrian says, I have stories of Tyson at Dre's After Hours in Vegas, not for the air. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure Mike Tyson can get after it a little bit. I don't believe he owns a tiger, though. Like in The Hangover.
I don't know that he does.
But, yeah, I mean, I bet he does pretty well with these little autograph things, especially, like, on the day of the weigh-ins when everybody's here. My goodness, I didn't know there were this many travelers on the planet, by the way.
We got a good crowd.
Yeah.
The fight is going to – I'm actually surprised they're having it here and not in T-Mobile.
I am, too.
Because they could have easily filled up that place.
I think so. And the casino is just filled with Fury fans.
Oh, it's going to be wild on Saturday night.
I haven't seen anything like this since Conor McGregor was fighting
yep.
here. That's the last time I saw a crowd like this where you're like, holy bleep, all these people are here for one dude.
It's going to be fun, man.
And, yeah, I can't wait to see what the atmosphere is like. I think it's going to be amazing. 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. Somebody asked, how's the scenery? It's Vegas.
It's always good.
Yeah. It's I'm going to say it's a little bit different because you've got a lot of paler scenery than you usually have. But their accents are so sexy that it totally makes up for it.
I don't like the accents.
See, I love the accents.
You and I are different on that.
Again, just different tastes. That's fine. That's fine. I have no problem with that. And this works better for me because I like the accents. Boy, Jake Aspin is a short little dude. So I'm kissing up to Jerry Cooney there, and it's like he came up to his navel. All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. I think that's music in the background.
It is.
So we are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back live from Las Vegas. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is the former WBO welterweight champion of the whole wide world, Timothy Bradley.
What's up? What's going on, people? How y'all doing?
We're doing well, man. How's it feel to be in the big fight environment and know that you don't have to get punched in the face tomorrow?
It feels fantastic to be part of this special event, man. You know, Fox, ESPN coming together, man. It's been years since this happened. It's an unbelievable experience. You know, honestly, we feel like it's family. You know, this whole week has been like family, man. We just working. Everybody's professional. We're working together, and we're just really trying to push this fight, man.
When you're a kid growing up, you know, you're learning to box.
Yeah.
Did you look at the heavyweight division as kind of the standard? And if so, who were the guys when you were growing up?
I was raised up watching heavyweight boxing. Honestly, one of my favorites and one of my idols was Evander Holyfield. Watching him, he was a small heavyweight with a big heart. You know what I mean? Determination, the will to win. I love that. That's what I brought into the ring as well. Mike Tyson, you know, Riddick Bowe, you know, guys like that. Larry Holmes, watching him as well. You know, Chris Bird, Michael Moore. You know, I watched everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? Growing up, you know, from the 90s on up.
What's wild is, this may be the biggest heavyweight fight of your lifetime. It's been,
honestly, to me, it's been since Lennox Lewis faced Mike Tyson. That's how far back.
But it kind of felt back then. It felt like maybe Mike. We kind of knew what was going to happen with Mike.
Yeah, because Mike was kind of out of. Yeah,
I said the last big heavyweight fight I can remember where like we didn't really know who was going to win, and there was a buzz about it, was Lennox Lewis and Vitaly Klitschko.
That one, okay.
And Vitaly was undefeated. He got the cut, and it ended up being kind of a disappointing result. Anytime a fight stopped on a cut, a close fight.
But right.
This just seems like heavyweights are back on the map. And it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, yes it is. This is a true 50-50 fight. A huge contrast of styles. You know, you got the boxer and the puncher. You got the number one versus number two. I don't care how you have these guys. You know, Wilder's the WBC champion. You know, Tyson Fury is the lineal. He's the man that beat the man. He beat Klitschko, you know, back in 2015. And he hasn't lost since, even though he went on a 2.5-year hiatus. So I believe that we have the two best heavyweights in the world fighting Saturday night, man. That's what I believe.
You know, we mentioned that 2.5-year hiatus, and he admittedly was not taking care of himself.
No.
You know, strung out, overweight, almost 400 pounds. He took two warm-up fights before he fought Wilder the first time. I think the first time Wilder maybe thought they were throwing him a can. Is that kind of what you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was one thing that Tyson Fury said that really stood out to me in the fighter meeting yesterday. He said just what you said. I came back after 2.5 years. I fought two guys, and I fought considered the baddest man in heavyweight division. I beat him. I didn't get the decision. Then I come and I fight two tune-up fights, and now I'm fighting him again. He says, I'm in the best shape of my life. He didn't beat me then. How the hell is he going to beat me now?
And
it makes sense.
We saw in his last fight, we saw Wilder struggle, you know, for most of that fight. He was getting, I think he lost every round until he landed the big shot. Similar to the Fury fight where he, you know, he's getting beat, and then he lands a big shot late, gets the knockdown. Do you think that is going to work for him in this fight, or do you think that that Fury learned from that first one and is going to be more aggressive?
Well, this is the thing about Deontay Wilder. That's Deontay Wilder. You know, he knows what he knows what his makeup is. He knows that he's a puncher, and he knows that he just needs to land one shot. And he's willing to be patient to you know, set up that shot. You know what I'm saying? He has that transportation system. He knows exactly how to get his opponents in that position to be able to land that shot. So he'll take his time. He'll be patient. But the concern I have is just what you just said. What if he doesn't land that shot? You know, can he fall behind on the scorecards? And if he does, he's going to lose the fight. Pretty much, he's going to lose the fight. So that's my concern going into this fight. What if he doesn't land that shot against Tyson Fury? What if he doesn't, you know, put put Tyson Fury down, and, you know, Tyson Fury wins a decision. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the your old division. Is there any fights? What are the fights that you'd like to see made at that division?
Come on, man. If we doing this fight right here, you got Fox, you got ESPN going head to head, then anything can be done. And that's the beauty about this. You know what I mean? They're setting an example for the whole boxing world, you know, and people around that want to tune in and see the best. A lot of people don't want to tune in and see boxing anymore because the best don't fight the best. That's why MMA is so popular, because the best fight the best. You know what I'm saying? But we got two guys, number one and number two. So talking about welterweights, number one, number two, you know, T-Bud Crawford, to me, is number one, you know, a welterweight, but he hasn't had a chance to prove it yet. Okay? You got my man Errol Spence is holding down two straps over there, you know, but coming back from, you know, a car accident. So he's injured. We don't know how soon he's going to come back in tip-top form. But that is the fight that I want to see. That is the fight that everybody wants to see. Who is the baddest man at welterweight? Is it Terrence Crawford or is it Errol Spence?
Well, let me ask you, because there was a question about you, your ability to carry a pay-per-view until the Pacquiao fights. Do you? And that's kind of been the question on those two guys, on Crawford and Spence, is can they carry a pay-per-view? You believe they're the kind of fighters that can carry a pay-per-view?
What are you talking about? You don't see Errol Spence's numbers. You don't see TC's numbers. Errol Spence is putting up good numbers. You know, 350, 375, whatever it is. Those are great numbers for him. You know, him and Bud Crawford go head-to-head?
What's the possibility?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I believe they're going to put up big numbers because it's one and two. You know what I'm saying? People will pay for that. People want to see that. Number one versus number two. And you know there's bad blood between the two of them. Yep. You know they both feel that they the best. Both of them bring a different set of skill set to the ring. And they both got super fans. You know what I'm saying? I'm a super Bud Crawford fan. You know, and there's a ton of super, Spence fans out there that believe that Errol Spence can beat Bud Crawford. I don't believe that. I believe that Terrence Crawford can beat Errol Spence. And I can't wait until the fight happen or if it happened. And with this setup, the way we got it right now, I know the fight can happen. So, my man Errol, get healthy. Come back, get in shape, get yourself back, and let's make this fight happen.
Timothy Bradley, former world champion, joining us here on the Blitz. I guess before we let you go, we got to ask, what do you see happening in this fight tomorrow?
Come on,
night?
Man. It can be, this is what can happen. I'm going to give you my prediction, but this is what can happen. Just what I just said, Tyson Fury can dance around and box his way to victory for 12 rounds if Deontay Wilder doesn't catch him. But the problem I have is that Tyson Fury cannot stay concentrated and focused for 12 rounds. I don't believe he can for 36 minutes. He can't even stay focused for 5 seconds during a press conference. You know what I'm saying? So I'm feeling that he's going to fall asleep for 1 second in the ring. 1 second. And boom. Lights are going to be out. It's going to take one punch. And I personally don't think he's going to get up this time. You know, I think that there could still be some residue from the first fight. Once you get concussed, that area becomes a little bit softer. You get hit again, now it's lights out. I remember from the Ruslan fight, I took some big punches. I was never able to take a big shot again. I couldn't absorb it. I felt every shot after that shot.
All right, that's Timothy Bradley, been our guest. Appreciate the time, Tim.
No doubt.
Looking forward to it, man. Thank you very much.
Should be fun, man.
Absolutely.
Tune in.
All right. Timothy Bradley.
Yeah, he said something about, you know, the best guys fighting the best guys. That's what he wants to see. That's what we all want to see, man. And I hope, you know, when we start to see more of these cross-promoted events, I hope that that's going to be a trend going forward. You know, maybe it's getting to where guys realize, hey, the way for us to make the most money is to do it together.
Yeah, and if they can both get paid, which
yep.
in this case they're both going to get paid.
They're both getting 50. They're getting the split of the purse. A split of the pay-per-view revenue, it seems like a very, especially considering how competitive the last fight was, it seems like a very legit split.
Yeah, well, and there's going to be a third one. Now,
more than likely.
Whether it's a 50-50 split then, I think depends on who wins this.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to make good money off of it, and good for them, because these are the kind of fights we want to see.
Yep.
And boxing has really struggled with that over the years. We've talked about that a lot. It's one of the things that Dana does so well with the UFC is he was a boxing fan, and he hated that the best never fought the best. And now I think boxing's done a really good job of putting together fights like this. And we've seen it a lot because we've been out here a lot for him.
Yep.
And this one, you know, this one's going to be awesome. 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. So I made a run to the facilities while that interview was going on.
Number two?
No, but it was a long line to get in.
Okay.
And somebody asked me a question when they saw I was wearing a Houston hoodie that we'll talk about when we come back.
All right.
How's that for a radio tease?
It's a good radio tease.
All right. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, live here at the MGM Grand. Somebody says, you keep talking about how awesome the fight is going to be. Will you be disappointed if it's over in two or three rounds?
No,
because I'm betting under 11 rounds.
That means there's a knockout.
And, you know what? Okay, so 4:46. That's fairly deep into the show.
Sorry
for that, but I feel like if those guys are going after each other and throwing bombs, I don't care how long the fight is. If it's two rounds of just great fighting, I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
To me, it's more about what we see as opposed to how long it takes. So I'm going to the facility outside.
Number two.
No, not number two. I don't. For some reason, my body doesn't do that this late in the day. It's always in the mornings. I don't know why.
Okay.
But a guy saw my Houston hoodie and asked if I was from Houston.
A Knicks hoodie.
A Knicks hoodie, yes. I said yes. What do you think about the Astros? I'm like, oh, my God, please no. Please no.
I should have said, I haven't heard anything.
I'm just like, dude, I do not want to talk about this ever again. I mean, it's been,
you should have just said, what happened with the Astros? Would I miss something?
Well, I thought about doing something like that. Or I actually thought about, no hablo inglés, senor, but I'd already told him I was from Houston. So,
your cover was blown.
And they should take away that title, shouldn't they? And I'm like, no, they shouldn't. You don't think so? No, I don't think so.
Where do you think this gentleman was from?
He actually worked here. He had on a MGM thing, so...
Did you consider getting into fisticuffs with him over this incident?
No, I just, you know, I don't know what about me sometimes says, hey, it's come talk to me. I really want to talk to you about this.
You have a very caring face.
No, I have a very ugly face. I don't know why.
Right, but people care about. They think that you are like a deformed monster, and it will make them feel better to talk to you.
Listen, nobody went up to the Elephant Man and asked him questions.
They did.
No, they avoided him.
No,
and the only thing he ever said was, I am not an animal. That's
I'm
it.
A human being.
I mean, is that the response he's expecting?
Maybe.
I don't know. But, no, I'm not having this conversation with you, sir. Nothing personal. I've just been doing it all week, and I really don't want to talk about
it. You should have shoved him in the chest.
Why? Why do you resort to violence?
That's what Adam Clanton would have done. He would have put down for his city.
Well, you know what?
That's what Patrick Creighton would have done.
No, Patrick would have.
No, Patrick would have fought him on the spot.
Patrick
no
would have just stolen his hamburger.
No, I mean, that's he didn't all he have a hamburger.
Well, if he had, he would have stolen it.
Come on, Fred.
Oh, well.
That's just rude.
You brought it up.
I didn't bring up anything about that.
The other thing that's very funny is... There's a side area to come in here, and you have to have a credential.
Okay.
And there's at least six people out there without credentials trying to explain why they belong in here to the poor lady at the front. And she's just like, well, call your people because you have to have a credential. So, Not Dead Zed says Hagler Hearns was over in under three rounds and is widely considered one of the greatest fights ever.
Yep.
That's true. Lamont asks, how's that stadium coming? I heard the roof is holding up some things. I've not been out to check out the stadium
I haven't
yet,
driven by it either.
But that might happen tomorrow.
I'm going out that way tomorrow, I think.
So we'll be able to report on that for Monday. But it's going to be – it'll be ready. I wouldn't worry too much. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to text the show. We've talked about the fight a little bit. We've had a lot of – a lot of people on to talk about it. I think the bet that I'm really feeling good about that I've already made even money on under 11 rounds, I just think there's going to be a knockout. I just, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think that's my only play on this fight.
That's probably where I'm looking to. I may throw a little on Fury just to so I'll have an interest. But I'm with you. I think it ends.
So I was showing you this before the show started. Ooh, that's two now.
Oh, yeah, that one hurt.
450. Yeah, that sounded painful. So I showed you the story before the show from USA Today. And, look, hey, I like the Roughnecks a lot. I'm really
– You like the Necks?
I like the Necks. Sorry, they're still just the Necks to me. I shouldn't have called them that.
You took off your Necks hoodie to expose a Necks long-sleeve T-shirt. You're all in.
Well, these are the only two things I own. I just happen to be wearing them at the same time. I wasn't expecting to
That's
take my –
That's super fandom.
Well, not really. I just wasn't expecting to have to take my hoodie off, but it's 100 degrees in here, so –
Take the shirt off, too.
No, we're not doing that.
Why? That guy yesterday took his shirt off and threw it.
No, he took his jacket off,
and
he threw his hat, and then he threw a chair. Let's keep things accurate.
He's not here today, by the way.
Nope. And it's
banished.
It's very quiet over there.
Yep.
We're not hearing any yelling
it's
or singing
nice.
Or clapping or whatever. So we're going to be able to do our show today without interruption from another show.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry. You were talking about the Necks and how great they are.
Well, no, that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about how over the top things have gotten with some of these stories. And yeah, look, I'm really hopeful that the XFL is going to succeed. It's been fun watching this team. But this is the headline from USA Today. Evoking comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, quarterback P.J. Walker is XFL's breakout star player. This is USA Today's headline.
Someone said that P.J. Walker reminds them of Patrick Mahomes?
I think that's what evoking comparisons to Patrick Mahomes means.
That's an intriguing comparison because I don't see really anything about them that seems like, you know what, they remind me of each other. Patrick Mahomes is like a full-size, you know, 6'3", 6'4", type dude.
With really awesome hair.
Yeah.
There's that. He's also an MVP and a Super Bowl champ.
MVP of the league. And his – I don't know if this is – you may have to fact check me on this. Patrick Mahomes, I don't think, has ever been cut from an NFL roster.
Hang on. Let me Google that. No, he hasn't.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell me about how P.J. Walker is so much like Patrick Mahomes.
Well, this is the overreaction world that we live in. But the really cool sidearm throw that he did for the touchdown, they're comparing that to Patrick Mahomes.
So
okay,
on
one throw, yes.
Okay. That was a pretty cool throw.
It was a great throw.
We got to slow down with this. It's just nonsense.
Yeah. And you might fact check me on this. Has Patrick Mahomes ever just thrown for 170 yards in an NFL game?
I don't know. If he has, it hasn't been very many times ever.
Right. Just curious.
Okay.
And
I'll let you know.
That was a good performance, too.
Yeah.
I like this team. They're a lot of fun. I'm in on it. I enjoy watching them. Patrick Mahomes?
Different level.
Yeah. So he says, do you think they just meant both were exciting players in their first year in their prospective leagues? No. That's not what they meant. I used to really like USA Today, but they've totally gone down the...
Well, it's a headline move.
Yeah, well, that's what they do now. Like, everything they do is try to be Skip Bayless. And in this case, it's just like, really? Come on, man. My bookie has Fury inside the distance plus 500. Thoughts?
I mean, if you think it's going to finish and you like Fury, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, I think that's a real good value.
And you said, I mean, I wonder what my bookie has for Wilder inside the distance. And I wonder if, because you said it's like plus 110 for it to go to, like, or even money.
It's even money under.
So if you can get plus 500 on Fury inside the distance, I'm guessing you get you know, plus money for Wilder inside the distance, that might be better to place those two bets separately.
Yeah, then
and then you hope that Fury ends up being the one who does it because he's the bigger dog to do it.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I'm going to look that up right now. So, and then we'll figure it out. But yeah, I
don't know a lot about sports betting, but that's what I would do.
Well, you know a little bit about sports betting. By the way, the Roughnecks are 7-point favorites tomorrow against the Vipers. I think I'm going to be on Viper.
Okay.
And this is a – it's not because I don't like the Roughnecks. This is totally a thing that we've learned.
Are you saying it's a letdown spot?
Well, it's a letdown spot. And what have we learned from RJ about yards being more important than points?
Yeah.
And the Vipers have put up a ton of yards and just haven't scored.
Okay.
So – I'm a little worried that their quarterback play is so bad, though, and they're going up against Patrick Mahomes. So, all right, there's some music. Let's take a break. We come back, I'll have those odds for you. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it!